Welcome to Mind Mastery and Manifestation, the number one podcast helping you rewire your mind to erase fear, unlock your greatest potential, and get the extraordinary relationships, businesses, and lives you've always wanted. We're your hosts, Dan Mendelow
and Sophie Kessler.
Welcome back, guys, to episode 5 of the Mind Mastery and Manifestation podcast. We are so excited to have you guys here and so excited to really be talking about this next topic. This is going to be all about fear and love, fear versus love, and really understanding how each of these emotions, each of these different places of thinking really, really work in your life.
Oh man, this is one of my favorite topics. It's simply because it's so profound. Like, it's all the time one of these things that can either run your life or you can use it to take control. And the first thing to think about is that fear and love exist on a continuum. It's a spectrum. And I think of them like motivation directions. You can be motivated by fear because you're staring at fear, or you can be motivated by love because you're staring at love. And another way to think about it is that love is focusing on what you want, and fear is focusing on what you don't want, because it really is important to understand that we don't just experience fear as quaking in your boots, you know, like a big scary dog is about to bite you in the face. Most of us don't experience real fear like that, but we will feel resistance. You got to remember that your unconscious mind, and by the way, if you want to review what the unconscious mind does, go back to episode 3. You got to remember that the unconscious mind wants to keep you safe. And so it will do whatever it can in order to keep you that way. And it really depends on what you're staring at, what you are focusing on to get your unconscious mind to change your behavior, right? So when we look at something that may be triggered by a fear, we may not feel the fear itself, but your unconscious mind says, just don't do that. Or just don't even pay attention to it, right? Remember, it deletes, distorts, or generalizes. So we may not always feel the quaking in our boots. We may just tell ourselves, nah, you know what? I'm not going to cold call today. I'm going to go wash my car. That seems much more important. Or, you know, it just seems stupid. This is not for me. That's just really your conscious mind kind of veering you away from fear.
Yeah, and I think this is a really, really big thing, especially, you know, oftentimes people will admit that they have a fear of failure, but not so often will people admit that they have a fear of success. And especially in working with a lot of entrepreneurs and business owners wanting to get to the next level, this concept of fear of success, typically, and this is going into some other stuff that we'll talk a little bit more about in future episodes when we talk about the ego and the shadow, this idea that I'm not afraid of success. I want to succeed, right? Consciously, we want to get to this next level. We want to experience life at this level. It makes absolutely no sense in the world why we wouldn't want to get there. And so this is understanding that your unconscious mind believes that for whatever reason, again, tapping into the unfamiliar, that there is something in that unfamiliar that may be threatening or that may be dangerous or that may be putting the body at risk. So what does it do? It comes up with all of these reasons, all of these ideas, all of these, in almost in a way, self-sabotaging identities and cues to, in a way, persuade you away from that success. And I use this example, again, because it's so common for a lot of individuals, especially in business. And so they say, you know, I don't understand why I keep procrastinating on this project, why I can't just pick up the phone. I don't understand why I'm like, I just can't, like, I don't want to, like, I can't get it done. I don't want to go to the gym. I don't understand why I keep binge eating or whatever it is. And so it's understanding that, again, that unconscious mind is coming from a place of wanting to serve and protect the body. And fear is not a good or bad thing. It is there to protect the body. And so if we can understand that, that number one, that fear is there to serve and protect the body, that your unconscious mind is trying to protect your body, then we can love it and we can appreciate it and then we can use it for us instead of being used by it.
Right. And it is important to know that you can actually be really successful even though you've got fears going on. In fact, a lot of people will say that they work best under pressure and they need stress. I've had so many clients saying, no, Dan, don't take my stress from me. Don't take my stress from me. Don't take my fears from me. They drive me. So yes, fear can actually propel you to a level of success, but there is something really important here, which is not can you be successful? Can you use either one? But what's the way to get the best results? And although fear can act as a source of energy for you, it is by no means the absolute best. Right. First of all, because yes, it can trap you. You can start procrastinating. You can start deleting things and you can get yourself stuck. Well, think about it this way also, that there is a little zone in which people don't move at all. And they stay there because they get afraid that if they change anything, that things are going to fall apart or they're going to lose what they have. And so they stay there being completely uncomfortably trapped until something breaks them out or they fall through the bottom and they hit rock bottom. We call that the comfort zone. The comfort zone is created by fear. It lives in the land of fear, and it's such a misnomer that it really should be called the discomfort zone, because have you ever noticed that people who are in the comfort zone are very rarely ever comfortable? And it's because their unconscious minds see so many different things as threatening. They see, well, you know, whatever I've got, it might not be what I really want, but hey, you know, it's comfortable for now. We've done this for a long time. No, don't stray out of this. Don't try anything new. That's terrifying, right? We don't know what's on the other side of that. And so that fear can keep people stuck, even though it might have even been fear that got them to that level of success in the first place.
Yeah, this is really, really big. And understanding again, guys, you're going to get so much science from me. I'm sorry for those of you that aren't so into it. But it's understanding that, again, it's operating from different thinking systems, from different parts of your brain. And fear is something that is innate in every species, right? It is a survival mechanism. And so it's understanding that when you're going into a state of fear, right, when you're going into that emotional state, again, tapping back into what we talked about on the previous episode 4 on emotions, you're activating that mammal brain. And I think Albert Einstein said it best when he said, you cannot solve a problem with the same level of thinking that created it. And so if you are living in fear, right, if you are living in fear and you are trying to create something beautiful, something better, abundance, wealth, happiness, joy, love, whatever it is, and you are living in a state of fear, it is going to be near impossible for you to really be able to tap into that to the limit that you could if you were living in a place of love, because you are only able to see, again, tapping back into the concept of the unconscious mind, you're only able to see through the filter of fear. So it's like you're looking through a glass window, but you can only see through such a small portion of that glass window because you're covering the rest of it because you're afraid to look out of it. And so you can only see that small portion that you're looking out of.
Yeah, and another way that I like thinking about this is when you're staring at what you are afraid of and you're moving away from what you're afraid of. I'll give you an example. It's sort of like the salesman who works and hustles because he doesn't want to go broke. And so consciously may say, hey, no, I want to make a lot of money, but really I really want to make a lot of money because otherwise I'm going to go broke. I'm not going to be able to pay for things. So he's staring at broke. That's what he's staring at and running away from it as fast as he can, right? That's the motivation by fear. Motivated by what you do not want. So he hustles, and that's kind of like a horror movie. I don't know if you've ever seen a horror movie or a slasher movie where someone's running away from a monster. What always happens? Nearly always, right? The person falls, they run into a wall, they get clocked by a tree branch, and then the monster gets them, right? The slasher comes up and just stab right on the ground, not even hard. Why? Because the person running away keeps on checking over their shoulder, right? They're running away from something, but staring at it at the same time. And so they don't see anything on their path. And of course, the thing that's chasing them is going to get them. Another way, think about it this way. How well do you think you're going to run a marathon if you run the whole way backwards and never look at where you're running? And you're just running staring at where you came from, where you don't want to be anymore. It makes it really challenging. Yes, you can go places, sure, but where are you going to go? Are you going to go where you really want to be? And how do you know that you're actually not going in a circle, for example? So yeah, it's really important to be able to change what you're looking at. Like Sophie said, look at a different part of the window. Change that perspective. And when you focus on what you want, when you focus on what you love in your life, that's like turning around and staring at that finish line and running directly towards it as hard as you can. Even if something is chasing you, that's how you're going to do it. Because you stare at where you're going, you're going to see the opportunities and possibilities in your way. You're going to see possible shortcuts. You're going to see people who might be there to help you. You're going to see all sorts of tools and things that you wouldn't see ordinarily if you were just looking backwards.
Yes. And not only are you changing your thinking, you are literally changing your brain and what part of your brain that you're using. And so what's the biggest thing that actually separates human beings from any other species on this planet is the size of our frontal lobe. Now, your frontal lobe is like the seat of your consciousness, right? It's your ability to imagine, to create, to basically get into a sense of almost like your higher self, your higher consciousness, this place of expansion, of knowingness, that you just know everything is going to work out. And so the difference that makes the difference for human beings is 40% of our brains are actually our frontal lobe. And so when we are stepping into an emotional state of love, when we are stepping into the state, we are activating that frontal lobe and we are stepping out of our mammal brain, our animal brain, where fear is what drives it. And as we step into this frontal lobe, into our, the seat of consciousness, we begin to be able to create. And again, tapping back into what we spoke on episode 4 in emotions, love is going to vibrate. The vibrational frequency of that state is much higher and much more coherent than the state of fear, the emotion of fear, which is going to be much lower frequency and a much more incoherent vibration. And so when you're living in this state of love, what then happens is, again, you are filtering the world through this state of love where you start to undelete, undistort, and see more specific possibilities that you can then create for yourself, and you become more open, you become more trusting, and you literally get into a more coherent, more connected state where possibilities become endless.
I absolutely love it. You're talking my language here. So let's continue on this sort of metaphysical kind of deal, right? In episode 4, Sophie brought up this really beautiful concept of vibrations being real. It's not a metaphor when people say you have high or low vibrations. And based on your vibrations, you attract things that are on the same wavelength, that resonate with you. And in that sense, what you think about, you bring about. And so if you're focusing on what you do not want, even though you don't want it, you're attracting it. You're bringing it into your reality because that's where you are vibrating. So the question is, what do you really want in your life? Do you want more of the things that make you feel lousy, that make you question yourself, or make you not like your day-to-day life? Or do you want the opposite? I know you want to live in a land of love and grace and bliss and all these amazing things. And it starts off with your focus. It starts off with, what are you staring at? And here's another really easy trick to check out how your unconscious mind works. See, it doesn't process negative commands. So when we're talking about what we focus on and you tell yourself, don't focus on what I don't like, your unconscious mind doesn't process that. I'll give you an example. Stop what you're doing for a second and don't think of a red bear. Can't do it, can you? Why? Because your unconscious mind thinks, don't think of a red bear. It thinks, okay, well, what's a red bear? Now we can think of everything else. Too late. It's like if you've ever gone up to give a speech and you tell yourself, don't choke, don't choke, don't choke, don't choke, don't choke. Your unconscious mind deletes the negative command and thinks, choke, 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 choke. You're focusing on what you don't want, and so you're attracting it, you're creating it. Whereas if you think about what you do want, if you went up for that speech and all you said in your mind was, I'm going to rock this. I'm going to crush this speech so freaking hard. You know, these people can't wait to be on their feet to applaud for me. Then think about your emotional state. Think about where you're vibrating and what you're attracting into your world.
Yeah. And this is, oh gosh, for those of you listening, I'm sure you can hear the smiles on our faces as we're getting into some of the metaphysical content here. But it really is understanding. Again, when you are vibrating at a certain frequency, you can only experience the frequency of which you're vibrating at. Meaning that you literally are magnetically attracting that frequency into your life based on what you're experiencing. And diving back into what Dr. Joe Dispenza talks about, your personality creating your personal reality. So if you're living in a state of fear, a state of incoherence, a state of stress, a state of dis-ease, of breakdown, of feeling really selfish, of angry, of feeling sad, feeling hurt, feeling guilty, your energy, your energetic frequency is at one vibration and can only attract that of which is congruent with it. Because the greatest force in the human personality and human nature is to be congruent with our identity. And if unconsciously our identity is living in a state of fear, of scarcity, rather than abundance, then we will only be able to attract and bring forth that of which we are living in.
So let's talk a little bit about how we get to focus on what we really love. Right. I think we've talked a lot about fear, and I think we're pretty clear on, okay, how do you tell where you're at? Right. Oh, here's another way you can tell where you're at. If you are being motivated by fear, you know, sometimes we get so locked into how we act on a day-to-day level that we don't even know anymore. Can't even tell that we're rejecting things, deleting things, that we're running away from something that we don't want. So you just take a look at your results. Are they consistent or are they inconsistent? I work with a lot of sales professionals who have the feast or famine kind of thing, where one month they do really great, and then the next 2 months they don't. And if you go back to the example of a salesman working so that he's not broke, think about it this way. Let's say he starts off with the fear of being broke right in his face, so he can feel the fire, you can feel the burn, and so he hustles. Hustles as hard as he can, he starts making a lot of money. So the fear of being broke, that's way far away. And so the motivation to keep working, well, that kind of dies out. And when the motivation dies, he starts buying stuff he doesn't need. He starts taking off work. He starts maybe half-assing it when he is at work. And all of a sudden, the money starts dwindling. And one day, he looks down the barrel of a bill he can't pay, and it's time to hustle again. And so you see this inconsistency because the more you work to run away from what you don't want, the less you're motivated to keep running. However, if your results are consistent, let's say if his motivation was, I'm going to make as much money as possible because it feels good, because I love it. Do you think you'll ever stop? It's like Warren Buffett. Warren Buffett does not need to keep working, okay? He hasn't had to for a very long time. But he loves what he's doing. He's never going to stop. That's also what quite possibly made him one of the best that ever lived. He loves it so much. There's no reason to stop. This is what he does all the freaking time. You know, it's like one advice, I can't remember who said if you really want to become good at something, become obsessed with it, right? Have that be your undying love. And so that's one way to really start getting yourself on that love train and moving yourself onto focusing on what you want. Find the things that give you a little bit of that obsessive energy. And what I mean by that is ask yourself, what are the things that when you do them, you forget that you're hungry, or you forget that you're thirsty, or that all of a sudden you feel better? Like, I know I'm obsessed with what I do. And one of the ways is that, you know, I never really get sick, but sometimes I'll get in a funk because I just didn't sleep for a couple nights and I'll just wake up dragging. I have one session with a client and it's like I got a full night of sleep. I feel incredible. It gives me life. And when you look at the cosmic definition of love, that's what it is. It's to create life. So what creates life for you? What gets you into that obsessive state? What do you love talking about? What can you talk about forever? What are your friends sick of hearing you talk about? You know, because do that. Don't listen to them. Do as much as you can with that. Do it and learn as much about it as you can and give it everything you've got. Because the more love you experience doing anything, as long as it's real love, as long as it's really adding to you, you'll find that your results in everything get a little bit more consistent. You start feeling that amazing energy running through your veins at all times. And just like we said in the last episode, you can start getting addicted to that. And that could be your new normal.
Yeah. And again, guys, this is where so much of this is really starting to create for yourselves that new place of home, right? That homeostasis in your body where you can start to live in this place of love and this place of abundance. And you can start thinking equal to how you're feeling and starting to step upon so many more possibilities. So if you're wanting to really understand a little bit more, if you know, what does that look like to transition from a state of fear to a state of love? Well, number one, right, we have to shift your physiology, right? Obviously, we talked about understanding the unconscious mind in episode 3, and there's two components. There's your state of thinking, right, what you're thinking of, your psychology, and then there's your physiology. So Dan, why don't you go ahead? I believe you had an example or an exercise here that you wanted to give the, our listeners for what they can start to do to start to really tap into that state of love.
Absolutely. So there are two things here. One is to pay attention to where you're focusing and how that makes you feel. Are you focusing on what you want or on what you don't want? Are you going to work because you have to, because otherwise you won't be able to pay the bills? Or are you going to work because you actually enjoy it? What do you do during your day to day? Are you telling people, for example, don't forget something, which is looking at the negative? Or are you telling them to remember it? Are you constantly focused on how people should not treat you and what you don't like? Or are you focusing on what you do? And so here is to just catch yourself. And just anytime you feel yourself focusing on what you don't want, just change it. Instead of saying, for example, you know, I wish you wouldn't talk to me that way, why don't you just tell them how you would like them to talk to you and change your focus to what you actually do want? And then, like Sophie was saying, there are two components, right? That's the mental and emotional component. There is also a physiological component to that, which is pay attention to your body. How do you hold yourself? How do you breathe? How do you walk? How do you look at people in the eye? When you're feeling positive, when you're feeling loving, when you're feeling like you're on purpose, on task, when you're feeling happy versus when you don't. And when you find yourself slipping into the physiology of feeling bad, maybe slouching, maybe breathing more shallow, maybe nervous tics or whatever, just catch yourself. Just straighten up. Start breathing even deeper. Cool it down. Look at people with a little bit more of that relaxed, loving, inviting eye contact. Even if you're not feeling that way at the time, I think you'll find that by changing your physiology, you'll change your mood. And it'll be even easier to focus on what you want and keep your eyes on the prize instead of running backwards.
Absolutely. And I think one more thing that I want to tie in here too is understanding the power of mirror neurons. Now, if you're in an environment that is just, there's just a lot of negativity there. There's just, let's just say it's challenging to be positive when there's so much negative, right? And it's also understanding that when you're looking at creating this new state of being, this new feeling, who do you know or who can you think of that embodies that already? Right. And as you can start to think of, well, I mean, I don't know how that feels. I don't know what I would do if I was feeling loved or abundant. I don't know what, right? Who do you know that does? Who's somebody that you either know personally or that you know of, whether it's online or that you look up to in history, that embodied that state of being, that state of love? And what were they like? how did they sit? What were their rituals? What were their habits? What were their routines? And we'll be getting into this in future episodes. But understanding as you can start to look at what it is you want to create. Again, going back to Dan's concept of focusing on what you do want rather than what you don't. And reflecting, creating that reflection in yourself of what you are wanting to create as you focus and as you create the connections, as you wire into yourself those feelings of love, it will help to create such a much stronger connection for you every single day. And I think the biggest thing in here is understanding that it is a process that you must do every single day.
I love that, Sophie. That's so, so important. Surround yourself with as many of these models of excellence as possible. Whether you're reading about them, whether you're watching them online, whether you have them in your life, whatever it is, you know, put yourself there so that you can kind of learn by example as well, right? So you can pick up on those vibes and embody them. And then, you know what, you may even start changing your own environment. If you have people around you who are so very negative, the more you focus on how positive you are, you might be able to help them out too, because they've got mirror neurons also, right? So it can work very powerfully for the people you care about as well. So that's all we've got for you today. I really hope you enjoyed that podcast episode as much as we did. I know I had a freaking blast. What about you, Sophie?
Oh, so much fun, guys. I love it.
And come back next time where we go deep into what you really need in life and how to get it.
See you next time, guys.